So both say, let's learn a little above Metzia, and we're going to get back to Sukkos again, see if we could navigate through the sugya. And before we do that, I just want to mention that we had started an article here, an essay of the Moreshes Moshe, and he began with the sheet of Tosfos as opposed to the Rashba, justifying Yachloku on the basis of an Anan Sadi. Oh, thank you so much. And the Anan Sadi is based on the Ochazin, the fact that each one is holding on to the Talis. And Tosfos went very far with this, and he said, Choshev ki'ilu kol echad yeshlo ba bevadai hachetzi, the Anan Sadi, the Maide Tofis Haidi Dehu, etc. And you may recall that the Moreshes Moshe had a barrage of kashas. I'm not going to review it now, but if you get a chance, he says that there are so many indications that that in our sugya we're dealing with a suffix. We're not dealing with, as Tosfos calls it, a vada, that we have an anan sadi bevada, that each one has half the talis. And he says the following. We got up to a paragraph here called Vehine, and he claims that, bless you, that Chazaka in Metaltalin, which is called Chazaka Kol Masha Tachas Yad Odom Shalohu, is a raya. The fact that he's holding on to something proves that it's his. And why is that so? Because Achzuke Inish Beganvi Lo Machzikina. We don't assume that a person stole something. If he's holding on to it, it's probably because it's legitimately his. It's rightfully his. Let's not consider it gzela. Then, in the next paragraph, he backtracks. Because, quoting the Kovetz Shiurim of Rabbi Elchanan, he says that Tosfos equates Mana Shlishi with Shnayim Ochsin.
Oh, yeah.
As if to say that in Mana Shlishi, each one of the Mafkidim have a Chazaka. Says the Kovetz Shiurim, that can't be a Birur, that can't be a Raya. He can't tell me that the fact that the Nifkat is holding on to the Mana Shlishi, that proves in any sense that it belongs to Reuven as opposed to Shimon, or the vice versa. And therefore, Rabbi Elchanan comes up with a whole new definition of chazaka. It's not a raya, it's not a hukhacha, but rather it's hanhaga. Hanhaga means that if you're in possession of something, then gimel, then we assume that that's how we have to treat the situation. You know, status quo kind of thing. It's hanhaga. Hanhaga means that's the way we got to treat it. Not because we know anything, not because of any sort of an anan sadi, but simply because of hanhaga. But the problem is, and Rabbi Chanan is very aware of the problem, that the Rishonim use the term anan sadi. That's how they describe a chazaka. Tosfos himself calls it an anan sadi. He says, "Bevadei achetzu shelo." So how can you tell me that chazaka is some sort of a some sort of anhaga, and it's not a raya? I mean, Tosfos is outspoken about the fact that it's a raya. So, to be honest with you, the Moreshes Moshe tries to, how should I say, he's stepping on both. He's trying to get some sort of compromise formulation. He says it is a hochacha, but ain't zu hochacha gemura. It's like a quasi mixas chazaka, mixas hochacha, but it's not completely indicative. And therefore, we need a din chazaka, which is called in Rabbi Chanan's language a din hanhaga. So once we activate this din, which is called a hanhaga of chazaka, then all the laws, all the repercussions fall into place, so to speak. They're all generated by this din, this hanhag. But if you ask the question, what's the root of this hanhaga. Now, where does it come from? Why are we leaving it in the hands of the muhsab? That's a svara. In other words, in a place where he's machzikit b'toras bailim, because otherwise we don't believe that he stole it, then chazaka is a hochacha. And now we reach out, so to speak, beyond that, and we generate another din of chazaka, a second category of chazaka. That's called a din chazaka, an haga in Rabbi Chanan's language, meaning that we leave the money in the hands of the muhsab. Not because his chazaka proves a thing. So, in effect, when it comes to Mana Shlishi, the reason why we're going to apply Yachloku in Tosus Havamina, which is the Havamina of the Gemara, is because they both have a din muhsak on the Mana Shlishi, insofar as the Nifkut is holding on to it on behalf of both of them. He doesn't know who really is the owner of the Mana Shlishi, but he holds it on behalf of the two of them. And that's called a din chazoka, an hagas chazoka. We have to validate both Ruvain's chazaka and this money in Shimon's, and the only way of doing that is yachloku. This is not a birur in any sense that each one should get half. In fact, as the Gemara points out, that's why we say yeimuna. It can't be that each one in talis each one might have half, but not in Mana Shlishi. And basically, he's trying to create what I call an integration, almost a shiluv of two different understandings or categories of chazaka. One is the category of chazaka because the fact that I have it proves that it's mine. I didn't steal it from anybody. But then you could have some sort of a chazaka. I would be tempted to change the language a little bit. I would call it a tfisa. You know, he's like got a tfisa. There's a chazaka of raya, and there's a tfisa which we call a maisa tfisa. The Mana Shlishi case, a maisa tfisa. Why? Because the nifkat is holding it on behalf of both of them. But no one's chazaka approves a thing, and therefore it's a din or an hanhag of chazaka, but it, in its original form, it emanates from what? From a chazaka of raya. But now we have a problem with the sugya of gojos.
What was the additional? I didn't. There's supposed to be an additional level that you said, and I don't know what you meant.
What I mean to say is that there's some concepts in halacha that apply in cases X, Y, and Z, but those cases form like the rock bottom foundation of that principle of that halacha. Then you expand beyond those cases to A, B, and C, which are radically different, but you still maintain the same halacha. The principle still applies, even though it's reasoning. Its logic, which compelled it in the first place, doesn't apply. So, in a case where you come and claim that I'm holding on to your property, there the chazok is a raya. The fact that I have it, and I possess it, and it's been mine for who knows how long, that's a raya, that's a hochacha. And in this case, we're going to say that I didn't steal it, chazok al inshi delo ganvi, it came into my possession, kedasu kedin. That's a hochacha. That's a chazaka shel hochacha. But once that halacha was formulated, then we expanded that halacha to apply in tfisa cases. What do I mean by tfisa case? Again, you're in possession, someone's trying to take it out of your possession. But in this case, in this scenario, my possession doesn't prove a thing. Here we have a new expansion of the original halach of chazaka, and it's radically different than the original form. Again, I wish I could give you more examples of this. I don't have any, but it's a halach that's rooted in a certain context. In its original context, it's logically compelling, but then we apply it elsewhere to cases where, although the principle itself works physically, meaning it's the same mitzvah, somebody's holding on to something, but it's radically different. It's lacking in the original compelling logic. So holding on to something, if we have no reason to believe that he stole it, that's a raya. But holding on to something just as a maisa tfisa, that's not a raya. That's a whole new category of chazaka, but yet we're going to still maintain that status of chazaka. Why? Because now we strip chazaka of its original complexion of being a hochach and a raya. Now it becomes a different kind of chazaka of hanhaga. we treat it as if there were a raya, but there is no raya. And this is against the sugya in Bava Basra, and we don't know how to reconcile it. That's the sugya of Godros. So what happens is that I'm in possession of an animal, a live, animated animal. You claim it's yours, and I claim it's mine. Now, based on all the definitions we've had until now, I have a tefisa on the godros, meaning these animals are now in my possession. The thing about godros is that since these animals roam around, it's very shaykh that, you know, my other baldin is saying the truth when he says that it just roamed out of my backyard and it came into your backyard and you took possession over it. And in this case, because of the nature of a moving object that goes from one place to the other, the fact that it's now, at this particular moment in time, it's in my rishus, doesn't really prove a thing. Now, at this point, I would, you know, enter front stage would be Rabbi Chanan's second level of chazaka, second tier chazaka, which means the chazaka of hanhaga. And Bezdin should be rightfully claiming that Hamotzi Mechavel of Araya. Look, you're claiming that your animal roamed into his field. Go prove it. Right now he's in possession of it. Does his possession prove a thing? Doesn't prove a darn thing. But nevertheless, it's Halach of Hanhaga. So in this case, why does Gemara say that the Chazok is meaningless? And Gojos, this is the language of the Gemara in the third parak of Bava Basra, Ein Lem Chazoka. And until he proves that the animal was there from who knows how long ago, we don't assume that his possession is meaningful. And in such a case, we go back to what's called the Marakama. In other words, if you remember that, you know, they have those cows where they drill a hole into the cow with a number on it, you know what I'm saying?
Brand.
A brand that they branded. So that proves that at one point in time it belonged to so-and-so. And each farm has its own brand, its own Simon Ladover. So that's called a Marakama. And not only that, it could be that the one who's grabbing onto the Godros, he may admit that the other fellow is the Marakama. He's claiming, I bought it from him. Now, normally, if you have a Marakama in Metaltalin against a Tofes, then the Tofes wins because we have a Chazaka called Mashatachas Yodim Shalom. Yesterday it belonged to him. I bought it from him in Fartik. That's the end of the story. No question about it. But in this case of Godros, if you admit that it belonged to him yesterday, the fact that it may have roamed into, you know, with its own feet, it roamed into to your backyard, now your Chazaka is meaningless. And the only question is, here's one taina against another taina, and one person is muhsak, albeit not a chazak of raya, but a chazak of hanhaga. Why is the Gemara disqualify the chazak in Gojos, Gojos ain't lem chazaka? Why not activate the principle of chazak in metaltalin at the level of hanhaga? That's what we don't understand. Okay, Rabbo, so what I want to do with you today is the sugya of sumchus. We started yesterday, but we really didn't finish it up. You know, there's a kalvachomer here in the middle of the whole sugya, and we want to see if we can make sense out of this kalvachomer. And it all revolves around one concept, which is called drora de mamona. So let's quickly go through the sugya here on daf beis, amid beis. It's about, shall we say, 15 lines down from the top, maybe a little bit less. Lema masnisim de lo kisumchus. The I kisumchus ha omar mamana mutal besafek cholkim below shvua. And the emphasis here is on below shvua. Mm-hmm. Now, the truth is, it's as I mentioned yesterday, but I want to reiterate this point. It's a bit of a paradox here that the Gemara applies Sumchus to our Mishnah and assumes that in our Mishnah, Sumchus would say Yachloku without a Shvua. The original case of Sumchus is radically different than our cases. Mm-hmm. What do I mean? In the original cases of Sumchus, which is either a Machlif Parah B'Chamor or Shar Shenoga Chesapora, both cases we don't know exactly when the Vlad was born or when the Vlad died. whether it was before the Negicha, after the Negicha, before the Mecher, after the Mecher. In those cases, Sumchus says Yachloku, and that's understandable. Why? Because Nimanafshach. If it's a case of Shema v'Shema, neither the Mokher nor the Lokech know exactly when the Vlad was born, then the whole concept of Shvu is completely misnomer. It's out of place. You can't talk about a Chiyuv Shvu in Shema v'Shema. On the other hand, if it's Bari Ubari, and Simcha says in a Bari Ubari situation, Yachloku below Shvua, there we're talking about an outright Gazlan. What do I mean by an outright Gazlan? Either person's a Gazlan or he's not a Gazlan. What do you mean an outright Gazlan? Yeah, that's a very amorphous, that's a very ambiguous term. It means there are two types of Gazlan. There's a Gazlan with a Horos Heter and the Gazlan without a Horos Heter. Now again, you and I might say Horos Heter is all a matter of psychology. It doesn't have halachic teeth to it. But I'm going to assume that the Horos Heter is something halachically binding. It has meaning to it. It's not just a figment of somebody's psychological imagination when he tries to justify his Gneva. But whatever it is, the Gemara just finished presenting the Tzrichus of Rapapa, that we need both Metzia and Mekach u'Memkah, because in each case there's going to be Horos Heter. And the Gemara is assuming that the justification for a Shvua, every Shvua in Dini Mamonos, is predicated on one premise. And that is that a person is not an outright Gazlan without Horos Heter. You know, if Reuven puts his hand into Shimon's pocket and he steals his wallet, Shvua is going to be meaningless in such a case. That's the premise of the Gemara. The Gemara tries to work out, well, in Metzia, does he have some sort of a psychological justification in his mind? And the same is true in the case of Mekach HaMemkar. And Metzia, he says, well, the guy's not losing anything because it was never in his bank account. He'll find, you know, maybe he'll find something else down the street, I don't know. In the case of the Talis and Mechira, well, guess what? He'll get a refund and let him buy the talis elsewhere. Again, we can go over that, and we have to go over it, but let's just accept it. There's some sort of horos heter. And there, the shvu is meant to serve a very definite purpose. You know what? He's not a real, real gazlan. He would, if he was a real gazlan, your shvu would be a cinch for him. You know, if he's willing to steal money, certainly he'll take an oath and falsify and perjure himself. But we're talking now about a case of Bari Ubari, again on this side. We don't know whether Machlef Par B'Chamor is Bari Ubari. I think that's outright Gzela. If I come to you and I say that you sold me a Vlad, and I know full well that you never sold it to me, I'm a Gazlan. There's no room for a Ross Heter here. There's no business, well, it's a Metzia, or Go down the block and buy yourself a Vlad. What do you mean buy yourself a Vlad? A Vlad costs money. So if he knows Bibari, that the animal, the little baby calf was born before the Kinyan, right, before the Mechira was formalized, then he's an outright Gazlan. There's no room for Shvu over here. What does that have to do with our sugya, our case of Shnai Mochsim B'Talis, where there's Horos Heter, where the hope is that through the Shvu, he'll back down, he doesn't want to take a Shvu Sheker, and he'll admit the truth. And he'll try to, you know, he's a little embarrassed, so he smiles and he says, well, I didn't think it would be a big deal, it's a Metzia anyway. You know what I mean? He doesn't lose anything. I'm not going to take the Shvua. Now, once he refused to take the Shvua, then the din is clear cut. So the answer to this lies in a sugya which we haven't learned yet on Daf Gimel. It's around the corner of Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Papa here on Daf Beis and the Beis works with one assumption, one premise, and Rabbi Yochanan Daf Gimel works with the opposite premise. Rav Papa works with the premise that Shvua is meaningless unless he's not an outright Gazlan. For a Gazlan, how much more so will he take a false Shvua? You're just wasting your time. It's an exercise of futility. Rav Yochanan holds the exact opposite. Rav Yochanan holds that even if there's no Horos Heter, Even if he's an outright Goslin and he knows darn well that he's a Goslin, he will still take according to Rav Papa, if he's an outright Goslin, he'll take the shrut. No, he will still, how do you say in English? In Hebrew, we call it nirta. Nirta means he's inhibited. He will still be inhibited to take a false shvua. So that's called chashir avamona, lo chashir ashvua. So, meaning in the eyes of man, a shvua is that much more severe, more chavur, than what? Than stealing something. So even if I grant you that Sumchus is talking about a case where we're afraid that one of them is an outright Goslin, he knows darn well that the Vlad is not coming to him, and he's lying through his teeth, nevertheless, the Shmu is meaningful. Even in a definite Goslin. Once I can't handle a Shmu. You know, once you hit me with the Shmu. So therefore, the two cases are really comparable. Why? Because Sumchus is Machlev Par B'Chamor, etc. is talking about Moment Amutal B'Safe. And our Mishnah of Shnayim Ochsim B'Talos is Moment Mutal B'Safe. What's going to be the answer? What's going to be the Psak? And you have two choices. It's either Yachloku Stam or it's Yachloku B'Shvua. Sumchus took the position that Moment Amutal B'Safe is Yachloku. And our Mishnah took the position that Moment Amutal B'Safe is Yachloku B'Shvua. Meaning that Sumchus is not going to impose a Shvua. Our Mishnah will impose a Shvua regardless of Horas Heter. If there is or there isn't, it makes no difference. Rabbi Yochanan is going to say that our Shvua is justified by the Chashash that maybe the guy just simply stole someone else's mama. And the Shvua is meant to inhibit the stealers, the thieves, the outright thieves, and get them to the point where they confess their crime, because they don't want to mess around with fire with a shvua shon. But now the Gemara faces another problem. You, the Makshin, are very comfortable, you're very complacent without sumchus. Leave out sumchus. Masnisin, delokis sumchus. The Elamai Rabbanon. I don't understand the Shavua according to the Rabbanon. Now this next line in the Gemara, I really believe, clinches what we said in the name of Rabbi Elchanan. This is a beautiful raya, I think, for Rabbi Elchanan. What the Gemara means to say is that the fact that each one, Reuven and Shimon, are holding on to half the talis, that itself is an anan sadi, that half of the talis belongs to them. And therefore the Gemara says there's no need for a shvua here. For example, if I come to you and I say, well, you know that shirt that you're wearing? It's my shirt. You don't have to take a shvua. Why? Because chazaka kol masha tachas yodim shalo, you have an absolute hochach that it's yours. Because you're in possession of it, I'm claiming it's mine until I have a proof that it's mine. The halacha would say to me, go fly a kite. Ela my rabbanon ha'amri ha'motzi mechavero all of a raya. And that means that until you bring a raya, the tzad shekeneged, the other side, has a clear-cut raya. What is his clear-cut raya? The fact that he's holding on to, yeah, he's got a chazaka. Ochaz, and Tosis calls it an anansadi. Tivvada yeshlo bochetzi. So on that chetzi, he has an anansadi. If he has an anansadi, there's no room for a shvua. Let's say, for example, you would have a good claim against me, and I bring two eidim to support my claim. Would I have to take a shvua? Chas v'sholom. If I have two eidim, I don't need a shvua. Again, Rabbi Chanan's chiddush is that there's another type of chazaka, and that's the chazaka of the sugya of machlev para b'chamar. And that is, let's look where the para is. That's hanhaga, you know, where the vlad is, I mean to say, right? So if the vlad is in Reuven's hands, leave it. Vlad is in Shimon's hands, leave it in Shimon's hands. Does that, the fact that it's now happens to be there, does that mean the kinyan took place before or after?
No.
Doesn't, not for a million more. And therefore, Rabbi Chanan says, there's another concept of chazaka, and that's a concept of hanhaga. I called it, that was my term, and I wanted to call it a maisa tfisa. It's a maisa tfisa that's completely bereft of a rayas tfisa. That was the case of Manashlishi. that Tosfos wanted to say Yachloku based on a Maisa Tfisa.
But in terms of the Vlad, he can't claim a Maisa Tfisa in the Vlad because it happens to be in his Chatzer, because the animal itself, the mother itself, which was now, which is still in his Chatzer, but it belongs to the other guy because they just did the Kinyan. How does it make any sense?
Wait, what's going on over here? There was a sale
in a different place.
Right, there's a sale of a part, correct? Yeah.
So they did the chalipin, and the cow is still exactly where it was when it started. It hasn't moved.
So where is the Vlad? Is it
the Vlad is next to the mother?
I don't know. That you have to open up the Gemara. Neither of us have a Gemara Daf Kuf. So until we get a Gemara on Daf Kuf, we can argue this out, Yosef. And maybe you're a cold old gover, maybe you're stronger than me, so you'll beat me up. But do you have a Gemara? It's a little bit embarrassing. We're learning about Metzia, we don't have a Gemara. Yeah, that's
there's Gemara's out here.
There must be a Gemara about Metzia somewhere here. Maybe behind me? What is this? It's Me'ila. Who's learning Me'ila? Oh, Daf Yomi.
You already turned to Daf Kuf.
On Daf Kuf, you should find four
right
words. Okay. Four words on Daf Kuf.
Right. Amachli par b'chamor b'yolda.
Right. But look for four words. If Alechse para b'shuse deman kai. Something along that line.
Amai yachloku b'lechse b'shut deman kaima.
So I don't know. You're saying that it's in,
does that make any sense?
You're saying it's in the possession of the mocher.
It's still in.
I don't know. The Gemara says lechse means, and the Gemara is so impressed by this, it introduces an agam. You remember an agam?
Yeah,
not the painter.
That's no man's land.
Yeah, but why no man's land? I mean, apparently it can go either way. You follow my point here? That you and I are here with a chalipin, and the Vlad is somewhere else. Why? Because things moved around. Maybe you took the para.
But the para itself is also somewhere else, and obviously the Vlad is exactly where the mother is.
So I don't know. So what is the? How do you translate those words? I don't know.
I mean, it's almost a rhetorical question, let's say.
You want to do me a favor? I hate to do this, but simply because we don't have much time, can you get yourself an art scroll? Maybe you'll look it up in the English. Because I understand that the Gemara is saying, we don't know where the Vlad is. Let's check out where the Vlad is. Is it in the possession of the Mocher or in the possession of the Loker?
I should do that now.
If you don't mind. I mean, again, I can't impose upon you, but I know you're a very easygoing guy, so... So again, let's go over the Gemara. The Gemara is saying that even according to the Chachamim, who disagree with Tzumchus, we don't understand how to justify the Shvua in our Mishnah. Bishlema, if I would ask you for a Shvua in the case of Machle Par B'chamor or Shoshana Gesapara, then it makes sense to ask for a Shvua because maybe he's lying through his teeth. And he has no raya. The fact that it happens to be in his possession, that doesn't prove anything. But in the case of Shnayim Ochsin Vitalis, the fact that he's in possession, that proves a whole bunch of things. That speaks volumes. Tosfos calls it Anan Sadi Devada Yeshlo Bachetzia. Why would there be a requirement to Shvua? And basically, you know, the Gemara is asking the most naive or the most fundamental question on our Mishnah. Why does our Mishnah require Shmuel? And you know what? We're never going to really know the answer to that question until we get to Rav Yochanan, who's going to reinterpret the whole Shmuel. And it's a new Takaras Chachamim because things were going wild in a certain period of time. But right now, we really cannot justify the Shmuel. Lo mi boi according to Sumchus, who says Mamen Amuta B'Safik in general is Yelchlok below Sumcha. But even according to Chachamim, in a case of Motzi B'Chavil Araya, there's no Shmuel. If you come over to me with all due respect, you say, this is your tie, then I don't have to take a Shmuel to prove it's my tie. I'm laughing because my father-in-law, if you say to him he has a nice tie, the first thing he does, he rips it off and he gives it to you. So the Gemara says, you know what? Maybe we should drop the ball on Tosfos. Again, how Tosfos is going to square with the Maskoni, I don't know. But the Gemara is saying that even in Shnayim Ochsin V'Talis, there's no Cheskas Raya. You know, it's again Rabbi Elchanan's Hanhaga. Hi, bye. I am Rishleima Rabbanon Hasam in the case of Shar Shanogas Aparlo Tapsi Travayim. The Gemara says it's Omenis Ba'agam, right? Is Om Rabbanon Amotzi Mechavel of Araya. Hacha de Travayu Tapsi is Palgile Bishvur. So the entire thrust of the Gemara's justification for the Shvur and Mishnah is written in these three words. Hacha de Travayu Tapsi. So we thought, the way Tosis presented us, in a sense he misled us, I don't know how he's going to square with this Gemara, that each one is holding on to half the talis, and each one has a chazok and half the talis. And with regard to his chazok and half the talis, we have an ansadi that it's his. That's a chazok of hochacha. And that was certainly the Gemara's opinion in the Havamina, and therefore there's no justification for the Shmur. But now the Gemara is saying, no, they're both tofes. And in some sense, each one's tofes sets up some sort of a chazaka on the entire talis on his behalf. But it really proves nothing because the other one, his tzadsha keneged, he's also being tofes the entire talis. So we're really stuck in an impossible position, you know, between a rock and a hard place, because you can't tell me that each one is muksak on the entire talis and each one has a clear cut raya that the entire talis is his. That's impossible. So basically, we don't know who really picked up this talus, or who really purchased this talus first. We have no way of knowing. And we have one claim against the other. So let's bring a raya. We're not going to just say, yachloku, pick up our hands and say, okay, like Shlomo Mel, you know, just split it in half. We're going to look for some sort of fig leaf, you know, some sort of a branch to hang on to of a raya. And what's going to be that mixus raya? Shvur. So I can justify the Shvua in our mission. Ela I amrit sumchus, but now I have a kal v'chomer. Hashta in the case, ma hasem delo tafsi travayu. And basically, no one has any sort of what? No one has any sort of superior raya. And yet, what are we going to say? Yachloku below Shvua, Hocha de Chavayu Tafsi. Ah, because the Gemara is holding now that they both, that Shnai Moksa Vitalis means they both have a Tfisa on the entire Talis, which is impossible. So, how much more so would Sumchus omit the Shvua? Well, what's the Kavachoma here? Ma Hosam Delo Tafsi Chavayu. Right, so they're not mukzakim, right? One person is mukzak, and yet Sumchus says cholkim v'lo shvua.
In what case?
V'lo shvua.
I'm not sure what the case is. I don't know.
Well,
you take a look at Rashi.
Sumchus is not the part of Tamar.
Yeah, but there's another case also Sumchus called called Shoshanogas Hapara. I don't know if it's, is it in the same Mishnah, the Adaf Kuf, or it's a different Mishnah? It's a Mishnah of Bava Kamma, right. So I'm not sure which Mishnah of Sumchus the Gemara is referring to. I would assume, take your choice, because both of them are more or less, you know, more or less the same conceptually. So again, I just want to see if I could make any sense out of this kal v'chomer ma hasam delo tafsi travayu, and therefore there's even more of a reason to what to impose a shvua.
Yatzchut says
Shoshanaga. Says Shoshanaga. Okay, yeah. So let's say that the lo delo tafsi travayu. Yeah, because again, the Nizak is suing the Mazik for damages, correct? So the Mazik is holding on to the money that he's being sued for. He's being accused of being the Mazik. We don't know if he's the Mazik. So Sumchus says, in a case where we have an objective suffering, we don't know if he's a Mazik or not, we should say Yachlok. And in that sense, you know, you're forcing the mazik to cough up money, right? He's going to have to write a check. Why don't we require that the Nizak, who's now going to be awarded 50% of the damages, that he should take a Shvua? Do you follow Rabosai? If we assume that we're going to take, let's say the Hesek was 100, we're going to take 50 out of the possession of the Mazik to collect on behalf of the Nizak. Then certainly the Nizak should have to take a Shvua in that case. And yet Sumchu says, no, we have a Safek, and the Din is Yachloka below Shvua. In the case of Talis, well, what does the Gemara say about Talis? The Travayim Tafsile. He said, I don't know what he means. Maybe Travayim Tafsile means that each one is going to get the half that he's holding on to. Again, it could be it's a Tfis of Hanhaga, according to Rabbi Khanan's language, but nevertheless, each one is going to get. So how much more so would Sumchus drop the Shvua? So what's the machlokus now between Chachomim and Sumchus? The Chachom is saying that in the absence of any raya, we need a Shvua. And Sumchus says no. If there's no raya either way, then let's say Yachloku. The big chiddush of Sumchus is in the case where the mazik is going to have to cough up half of the damages. No, Sumchus says the objective suffering completely neutralizes Hamotzi Mechavel of Haraya. And therefore Yachlu. So the principle of Sumchus is when there's no muchzakus. And why is there no muchzakus? Because it's Mamon Amutal B'Safek, then the law is Yachlu. Period. And that's it. I don't want any rias. I don't want any olchachos. I don't want any biburim through shvua. Simply achlok. And if Sumchus says yachloku in a case where we're taking money out of someone's possession, he still doesn't require shvua. How much more so in a case where each one is grabbing onto half the talis, and therefore basically our yachloku is just to give each muksok what's coming to him under the law of muksok. And we're not digging our hands into anyone's pocket and taking money out of his possession, then for sure Mamon Amutal B'Safek should be Yachloku B'lo Shvua. The Rabbanan will apply the principle of Chazaka. But it becomes a different kind of Chazaka. What kind of Chazaka is it? Not a Chazaka Shel Raya, but a Chazaka Shel Hanhaga. And if it's the Chazaka Shel Hanhaga, then we want to maximize the Birur and the Olchacha, so we'll add an element into the equation of what? Of Shvua. Sumchus, on the other hand, holds that we don't care about Muchzakus. Don't tell me that you need a Shvua because of somebody's tfisa on it. I mean, a tfisa shall unhug, if you follow what I mean. Sumchus says, I don't have to go into this whole discussion about tfisa shall unhug and yachloku because of muxokus, when there's no real reason to split it because of muxokus. I'm going to apply the principle of splitting it because it's mamon amutal b'safek. And in that case, you don't require a shvu. You don't require a shvua. So the Gemara says, "Afilu tema sumchus." Now here we go back to our original question about sumchus. Is it a case of shema v'shema, bari bari? So the Gemara now takes the position: ki yomer sumchus shema v'shema. It could very well be that Sumchus is going to require a Shvua. And that even in case of Mamon Amutal B'Safek, we need a Shvua. But there are situations, says Sumchus, where it's impossible to impose a Shvua. And why is it impossible to impose a Shvua? Because it's Shema V'Shema. Neither the Mazik nor the Nizak know exactly when the Vlad was born, whether it was a result of the Hezek or it was born before the Hezek. And if nobody knows, then that's Mamon Amutal B'Safek, and clearly there's no room for a Shvua.
But then why is it such a big deal that Simcha says Chokim below Shavua?
Right.
In those cases, the Shavua is not Shayach.
Right.
So it means nothing in terms of a case where Shavua is Shayach.
There was a Havamina, you know, that even in a case of Shema, a person should take a Shavua. And that Shavua would be that I don't know. Maybe we suspect you that you really do know, and it's not yours, it's not coming to you, but yet you're gonna claim that you don't know. You know, it's very nice to be naive and claim I don't know when you really do know. So we don't even trust your Shema. And we want to force you to cough up a Hadas Baldin. So what tool, what means do we have to get you to cough up a Hadas Baldin? A Shavua.
That's like Shavua. It's a Shomrim that Sheino Birshuso.
Right, I don't know who the Goslin is, but I can tell you I'm not holding on to it.
Right.
I don't know whether he was born this way or that way, and I'm not lying to you when I deny that I know.
But that's the point of Dror d'Mamona, because even without their tainus of Shema v'Shema, you have the suffix of, so whose is this?
Okay, but I'm just saying that there was a Havamin, I think, again, I take it with a grain of salt, of a Shavua, even in the case of Shema v'Shema. But it means that in the case of Bari Bari, Sumchus is going to impose a Shavua, which means that Sumchus basically holds Momen Amuta b'Sofek Cholkim b'Shavua. Hence, he could be reconciled with our Mishnah. So the Gemara says that's fine, according to one view of Sumchus. But Ula Rabba Bar Rav Huna the Omar Sumchus Afilu b'Bari Bari. Now, if each one is claiming Bari, it makes sense that we should impose the Shavua. Michael and Meimar. So you're going to have to come to the conclusion that we came to before, that Sumchus maintains that if we have a bona fide Sofik, forget about Muchzakus, everything is cancelled, and all we need is the Yachloku. That's what the law is. Yachloku because of the Sofik. And there's no room for a Shavua. And then we could go back to the Kal V'Chomer. You know, if there's no room for a Shavua when we're taking money out of the hands of the Mazik, mm-hmm. and we're forcing him to cough up half of the damages, how much more so in the case where, as the Gemara calls it, Shavayu Tafsile, which means that each one has a Tfisa on it. So we're really just awarding money to him that he has a Tfisa on. Certainly, in that case, we would not require a Shavua. If there's a Havamina that we should be pushing for a Shavua, it's a case where we're taking money out of someone's possession. That's all the more reason to impose and require a Shavua. Now, here's the turning point in the sugya. Afilu tema sumchus ki omar sumchus hecha de ika jar de mamona avil hecha de leka jar mamona lo. So what is going on here with Dror d'Mamona? So I can only tell you this. There are two approaches that I know of, and there are probably many more, to what Dror d'Mamona is all about. Tosus' approach, which is pretty clear here in Tosus d'Masel Hechadik and Dror d'Mamona, is below Tanisem Yesh Sofik Lebest, which means there's an objective Sofik about this Mamon that Besdin has to clarify, even if the Bali Dinim are not claiming anything. You could say before they even ran into Besdin, each one with his own lawyer, we already had a suffix in Besdin. We mamish don't know, because the Metzius and the scenario allows either one of them to possibly be the Bailin. There's another way of approaching Dror d'Mamona, and that is a Hefseid Mamon. And what the Gemara is saying is that what Sumchus, the foundation or the fundamental point that underlies Sumchus' Shita, is that there's going to be a loss. Again, I don't know why that should do away with the Shavua. That I don't know. But let's go step by step. So if he's going to take money out of pocket, then Sumcha says, Yachloku below Shavua. But in our Mishnah, there's no loss. Because again, in Mitzia, we're just finding something new. And in the case of Ekach Umemkar, he'll get a refund on his money. So there's no loss that we can calculate in dollars and cents. And that's called Lekka Dror de Mamon. In such a case, Sukkos will require a Shavuah. Let me read it again. Hacha, Hecha, I'm sorry. Hecha de Ikadjara de Mamona. If there's a real loss, because the Nizak is forcing the Mazik to pay, or on the contrary, the Nizak is going to suffer a loss if he's in the right because he lost his Vlad and he's not going to be compensated. There's a serious issue about loss of money. Then Sukkos says Yachloku below Shvua, but if there's no Chisar Mamon because he'll get rebated or because it's a Mitzia, then Sukkos would also admit that he takes a Shvua. Yachloku b'Shvua. This is where I get stuck. I don't understand why. Just because there's a Hefseh, therefore Sukkos does away with the Shvua. I mean, until now, the whole thrust of the world was just the opposite, that if it's Hefse, we really need a Shavuah desperately. I don't know. Okay, Rabbi, so let's learn a little bit of Chulin today, and we'll put this on the side. And